Am I in the air?
What is going down, everybody? Welcome back to another brand new edition of Am I on the Air? My name is Don Mega, and I'm your host. I'm so thankful that you're here to join me tonight to get caught up with all the latest and the greatest when it comes to entertainment news, television, movies, non-spoiler reviews. You come right here to Am I on the Air? It's season 27, episode 18. Tonight's show is titled Building Bridges. We're going to be breaking down the news from December the 20th through December the 26th. And yes, we are broadcasting one day late once again. No, Wednesday is not going to be the new day that we do this show, but it's Christmas week, guys, so you got to cut me some slack. Monday was Christmas. Merry Christmas to y'all. Happy holidays. I hope it was an amazing day with family and friends and everything in between, but it's been a busy, busy week, so I did not get a chance to record last night, so I'm here on a Wednesday knocking it out for you guys. So don't you worry, I got 4 non-spoiler movie reviews to talk about. I got about 6 television shows to talk about, so I've been spending some time watching some things, and I got some things to talk about, so we're going to do it non-spoiler style right here tonight on Am I on the Air. So once again, strap on in and let's talk about it. We're going to start off with the non-spoiler movie reviews, kicking things off with the new number one movie in the world, and that's Aquaman and the Lost Kingdom. Now, this one here is Aquaman 2. James Wan is back to direct this movie here. Of course, Jason Momoa is back. Patrick Wilson is back as Orm. Yahya Abdul-Mateen II back as what the fuck was his name? I love this character and I'm completely spacing right now. Black Manta, right? Right? I think that's it. Black Manta. I don't know why. It is out of my head. Randall Park, Amber Heard is back. Nicole Kidman is back. Dolph Lundgren is back. Tamara Morrison is back. And it's been an interesting adventure to get here. The first movie made over $1 billion. It was really the peak of the DCEU. And then now fast forward several years, it is the last movie of the DCEU. That's right, the last one. 10 years, a decade in, and we're done. No more DCEU. This is the last film. We're going to take all of 2024 off, and then 2025 will bring back the kickoff to James Gunn's universe, the DCU, with the new Superman legacy. But we're here to talk about Aquaman and the Lost Kingdom. Now, this movie here, I didn't know what to expect. I liked the first movie a lot. I think it's a lot of fun. And I thought the trailers for this one looked really good. But there's been so many haters online that just have been poo-pooing on this film from the very beginning. A lot of people wondering why even release it. Nothing makes sense chronologically anymore. This film was not supposed to be the last film. But there's been so many shuffles and different films moved around that this one kind of, you know, gets stuck last. There was all the Amber Heard drama. I mean, there was so much going against this film. And then there was all this word that they did some kind of like early test screenings and they bombed and people didn't like it. And then they held the embargo on this film. Like, an embargo means you can't talk about the movie. And usually embargoes lift about a week before the movie comes out. The embargo on this movie literally stayed on until the day the movie came out, which is never usually a good sign. But then I started to see mixed things. I saw some people hating. I saw some people loving. And I, as always, said, you know, hey, I'm going to go check it out and see for myself. I went in the IMAX and I really enjoyed it. I really, really enjoyed it. This one here, Black Manta, still driven by the need to avenge his father's death and wielding the power of the mythic Black Trident, will stop at nothing to take Aquaman down once and for all. To defeat him, Aquaman must turn to his imprisoned brother Orm, the former king of Atlantis, to forge an unlikely alliance in order to save the world from its destruction. This one here, like I said, we looked at this one like a buddy cop kind of movie, right? Like, and that's how James Wan's kind of described this one, as, you know, you got Arthur, you got Aquaman, and you got Orm, right? The brothers that don't like each other, and really the first movie was all about their hatred for each other, and then turning into this movie where they have to get along and fight side by side and kind of have that humor and that kind of buddy cop mentality kind of going through the film. For me, it really, really worked. I think the chemistry between Jason Momoa and Patrick Wilson was great, and they play really, really well off each other. Randall Park was really good. It was great to see. I like Amber Heard. You know, what she does in her personal life is her personal life, but as an actress, I dig her, and I really like her as Mara, so I thought she was pretty badass every time they used her. Yaya, always good. You know, Black Manta, you know, is one of those characters that I think he really sinks his teeth into and has a fun time with it. And overall, that's what this movie is. It's a fun time. Is it the greatest DCEU movie? No. Is the plot kind of weak and sometimes overly silly? Sure. But are you going to have fun in this movie? I sure as hell did. I had a ton of fun with it. I thought it was funny. I thought, you know, this is really a comic book come to life. And I saw another review of a guy that really enjoyed it, and he compared this movie to an everything bagel. He said it's kind of like an everything bagel. You have a little bit of comic book stuff. You got a little bit of adventure. You got a little bit of fantasy. You got a superhero movie. You got the kind of cartoony, campy stuff going on for it. You have the horror stuff because James Wan and the monsters and the creatures. It's got a little bit of everything for everyone. And I loved this analogy because that's exactly what this movie is. It's an everything bagel. And, you know, it just, to me, it worked. And for me, 9 times out of 10, when I go to see a movie in a theater, I want to be entertained and I want to have a fun time. And I sure as hell did with Aquaman and the Lost Kingdom. So big thumbs up for me, man. I would give this one 4 out of 5 stars. I had a blast with it. Like I said, is it the greatest? No. Is it going to win any awards? No. Did I have a good time? Yes. And that's really what it's all about. Did I have good action? Did I have a good time? And a little funny side story, you know, about a week before the movie came out, I had talked to my daughter. My daughter's 10. And I said, you know, do you want to go see Aquaman? And she was like, okay, fine, I'll go. And she usually goes to the superhero movies with me. And then the day of going to see Aquaman, she was like, do I have to go? I really don't want to. I don't really care anymore. I'd rather kind of stay home and play. And I was like, I already got you a ticket. You're coming to the movie with me. So she came to the movie with me. And about halfway through the movie, she leaned over and she was like, I'm really enjoying this. And I was like, oh, yeah, good, good. And then when the movie was over, she was like, I am so glad I came. I loved it. She was like, it's one of my favorite movies of the year. And I just got a big grin on my face because I love nothing more than not only for her to enjoy a comic book movie, but to see her reaction turn around when she wasn't really excited and didn't really want to go and then ended up loving it, you know? So that was really, really cool for me. And I had a blast with it. So Aquaman, 4 out of 5 stars. My next movie, I'm going to flip over to streaming because this was a big movie for the weekend. And it's Zack Snyder's new film, Rebel Moon, Part 1, A Child of Fire. Been waiting for this movie for a long, long time because I am a big Zack Snyder fan. I love pretty much every project he's ever done. And this one here is about a peaceful colony on the edge of the galaxy finds itself threatened by the armies of a tyrannical Regent Belisarius. They dispatch Korra, a young woman with a mysterious past, to seek out warriors from neighboring planets to help them take a stand. So this is a big sci-fi epic, and basically, long story short, Zack Snyder had this story outlined as a Star Wars story. And he went to Disney and he met with them and said, hey, here's my Star Wars movie. And they were like, dude, we can't make this R-rated, crazy, violent movie. It's just not going to work for us. So he said, cool. And he took it to Netflix, and Netflix said, we'll make it. And here we are, right? Now, the interesting thing with this movie, and it's almost somewhat of a cash grab to an extent. You have, like I said, this is part one, right? A Child of Fire. When Zach made this movie, it wasn't a part one and a part two. It was just Rebel Moon. As he made the film was very long. And in kind of the way he did his Justice League, right? Like, if you watch the Justice League Snyder Cut, there's a part one, part two, part three, part four throughout the film. And he kind of did the same thing here, right? Like, he took his really long movie and he broke it into two parts. And then is going to release them as two separate movies. Part one, A Child of Fire, and part two, The Scargiver. Now, on top of that, these are PG-13 movies. And he has already announced that he's going to be doing his quote-unquote Snyder Cut, director's cut for these movies, that they will be longer, they will be way more violent, they will have sex, they have cursing, they're way, you know, super violent, some gore, but they're a hardcore rated R movie. My question is, if it's a Netflix film, why are we doing it this way? That's what I'm really, really curious about. I want to know the story there. Because Netflix doesn't care about your rating, right? When you're making a theatrical movie, the studios care about a PG-13 over an R because it's going to get more butts in the seats. More people are going to go watch it. So I get it why you would have a PG-13 in theaters, and then once it hits home VOD, you have your unrated director's cut, right? Or so to speak. And Zach has done this before. He did it with BVS. He did it with Justice League. Those are technically R-rated in their Snyder cuts. With Rebel Moon, it's a Netflix film. So why did we need toned down PG-13 versions? I don't really understand it. At all. Really, I've tried to explain it. I've tried to understand it for the past several days. And I don't get it, because there's a big fan base out there that didn't even watch this movie because they knew the director's cut was coming out. And they were like, yo, I'd rather wait a couple more months and actually see the full, longer R-rated version. And I kind of get that to an extent. Like, my buddy Friggins is already thinking that way for part two. He's like, you know, after watching part one, I'm thinking maybe I wait for the director's cut for part two before I watch it. Because they are a more complete story. We talked about on last week's show, Zack Snyder said he almost feels like the director's cuts are a completely different film. And that's crazy. How are we going to go into this movie thinking it's a completely different film? You know what I mean? So I digress. I mean, this isn't really talking about the movie, but it's talking about kind of just Rebel Moon as a whole. Because yes, we have part one, the PG-13. We got part two, the PG-13. And then over the summertime, we're going to be getting these director's cuts that are probably over 3 hours. And like I said, they have more violent sex and language and all that kind of good stuff to it. So I know there'll be better movies, but why not lead with that, right? Like, if those are the better films, and it's a Netflix thing, why not lead with it? So that's my point there. As far as Rebel Moon Part 1, A Child of Fire goes, we were very excited for this movie. In fact, if you watched any of our spoiler reviews, you know I have my boy Friggins, my boy Peeps, always on as we do our spoiler reviews. And we decided to do a viewing party for Rebel Moon. Since it wasn't in theaters, I have the biggest TV and surround sound. So we said, you know what, why don't we come over to my house? And we'll watch it. We'll do a little viewing party. And Peeps and Friggins came over. Geeky Pat, our other buddy, came over. And we watched Rebel Moon Part 1. And for me, it was just okay. It's got a lot of good going for it. Like, visually, stunning. The action, stunning. The planets, the story he was trying to tell, very, very cool. The flip side of that was characters I didn't really care about. A story that was over expositioned, way too convoluted, and just bogged down, which took me out of it several times. And it's unfortunate because, like I said, I love all the Zack Snyder films and I had super high hopes for this. This is a Zack Snyder film that I will probably, besides the director's cut when it comes out, will probably never watch this movie again. And I still liked it. I did. but it had zero replay value for me at all. Too sluggish, not enough good going for it. And that really hurts because this movie was set up to be a Zack Snyder Star Wars, and that's what I wanted, and I didn't really get that, to be honest. So, like I said, I'm completely open-minded for the sequel. I'm completely open-minded for the director's cuts, and I will be checking them out. But as far as this one goes, the PG-13 trimmed down version of Part One, A Child of Fire, 3 out of 5. And that's for my love of Zach, because it probably should be a 2 out of 5. But I'm going to go 3 just because it did have a lot going for it that I liked. Some really cool action scenes. But just not enough. I wish it had a stronger cast, if I'm being honest. You had Sophia Boutella, Ed Skrein, Demon Hansu, Charlie Hunnam, Ray Fisher, Anthony Hopkins is the voice of the robot. It just wasn't enough, man. I needed more. Now, after this weekend it came out, Zack Snyder dropped the first teaser trailer for Part Two, The Scargiver, and the trailer looks fantastic. And he's saying Part Two is way more of a war movie. There's a lot more action, and that looks badass to me, and I'm ready for it. It comes out in April. I believe April 19th is when Part Two drops. And then probably over the summer we'll get the director's cut. So good on you, Netflix, I guess, for trying to milk the Snyder Cut fan base and keep people subscribed to Netflix to watch all these versions. But as far as this version of Rebel Moon Part One, A Child of Fire, 3 out of 5 stars. Now, I went back to the theater yesterday to, was it yesterday? Maybe it was Monday, to check out Wonka, because I did not get a chance to see Wonka on its opening weekend. Just way too busy with Christmas stuff. So, went on Monday with the fam, the wife and my daughter, and had a really good time with this one. This one here, Willy Wonka, chock full of ideas and determined to change the world one delectable bite at a time, is proof that the best things in life begin with a dream. And if you're lucky enough to meet Willy Wonka, anything is possible. So this is a prequel movie, of course, to the Gene Wilder version, where now we have Timothée Chalamet playing the younger Willy Wonka, how he gets his start, right? You have Keegan-Michael Key in here as the cop. You have Hugh Grant. You have Olivia Colman. Mr. Bean is in this thing. There's a lot of other faces that'll pop up. But really, this one here is just a feel-good family comedy musical fantasy. That's really all it is. There's no heavy story here. You have some bad guys, and you have this cheesy story about these chocolatiers that don't want Willy to come in and disrupt the business and take any money out of their pocket because his chocolate is better. So he's got to find his way to get the world to understand and appreciate his chocolate. What I'll say about this movie is like I said, it's a fun time. It's a fun time. I am not the biggest Timothée Chalamet guy, but he's starting to win me over. I thought he was fantastic as Willy Wonka. Keegan-Michael Key was hilarious. Hugh Grant was hilarious as the Oompa Loompa. Everybody's really funny here, and the songs are kind of catchy. I didn't realize how much of a musical this movie is. It's a real big musical. There's lots of songs, but they're all catchy and they're fun. And again, the movie's funny, and the premise is dumb, but you have a smile on your face the whole time. And this movie just worked. It worked. The whole family loved it. Everybody was clapping and cheering and having a good time. And I have to say, it was a pleasant surprise for me. I was only so-so on the fence about watching this movie and figured, hey, I'll watch it for the podcast, and ended up really liking it. So Wonka, big thumbs up from me, 4 out of 5 stars. Definitely check it out. And lastly, me and my daughter watched Leo the other day. This is on Netflix. It's a streaming animated movie starring Adam Sandler. That's right. He plays Leo, the main character. This one here is about a lizard. He's a jaded 74-year-old lizard named Leo who's been stuck in the same Florida classroom for decades with his terrarium mate, Turtle. When he learns that he only has 1 year left to live, he plans to escape to experience life on the outside, but instead gets caught up in the problems of his anxious students, including an impossibly mean substitute teacher. So, yeah, so I mean, basically, long story short here, you have a terrarium in school that has this lizard, Leo, in it, and a turtle. And they've been friends. They've been in this terrarium for a long time. And Leo, who's 74 years old, finds out that lizards pretty much live till they're 75. So he thinks he's about to die. And he wants to escape. He wants to get out in the real world and stretch his wings for once. But instead, he ends up going home with these kids and helping them be better. And it's a really heartwarming story. And I thought Adam Sandler was an amazing voice in this. And it's got some good people, man. You got Adam Sandler, Bill Burr, Cicely Strong, Jason Alexander, Rob Schneider, Allison Strong, Joe Coy, Sadie Sandler, Sunny Sandler. There's lots of people in this one here. And like I said, it's a real sweet movie. My daughter loved it. I mean, it's one of these animated films about kids in school and learning how to deal with, bullies and growing up and just all the different things that kids and their kind of preteen life go through. And I think my daughter really connected to this one, and Leo really helping them out. And he was really funny as the damn lizard, man. So we had a good time with this one. And like I said, it's streaming on Netflix right now, and it is good for the whole fam. So definitely check this one out. I would give Leo 3 out of 5 stars. It was a fun little time. So that's what we got on the movie side. Switching on over to TV, man, there's been a lot of stuff on television right now. My biggest binge in the last week was Dr. Death season 2. Now, Dr. Death is on Peacock, and it is a show that's based on true stories. And the first season was based on a doctor, oh, I'm trying to remember what's his face. Oh man, what's his face played him? Why am I blanking right now? Son of a bitch. Joshua Jackson. There it is. See, I need a second sometimes, man. I'm processing so much in my head. Joshua Jackson was Dr. Death in season one. It was a crazy story about this doctor and all his patients that were dying. And then Dr. Death season two comes back, and now this one here is fronted by Edgar Ramirez, and he's playing Dr. Paolo Macchiari and Macchiarini, and who is this Italian doctor, and he started doing these trachea implants. Problem is everybody he did this implant in died, and so he's the new Dr. Death. And this is a true story, man, and that's what I love about the show, because season one was fantastic, and season two was just as good. It was so good. Mandy Moore is in this one too. She plays the doctor's girlfriend and fiance, and then there's the doctors and the stories of these poor patients that go through this trachea surgery and then end up getting so sick and dying, and this doctor just being like, well, I don't know what to tell you, it wasn't me. It was an amazing story, and definitely you should be checking this out. I binged the entire season. It is over, and the whole season's available to stream right now on Peacock. Big thumbs up for me. It was awesome. And then after you're done binging season two, you should watch the documentary, because Peacock did this with season one. They released season one, and then when it was done, they put out a documentary about the real story. And they did the same thing this year. They put out a documentary called Dr. Death, Cutthroat Con Man. And that came out right after the season dropped. And we watched that. As soon as we were done binging the show, we watched the documentary, and it was incredible. And I know Netflix just released a documentary about this doctor as well too. So I will also definitely be watching the Netflix version as well. But these two are now streaming on Peacock. Definitely recommend you check it out. The other new show that I jumped on was Percy Jackson and the Olympians. This is on Disney Plus. The first couple episodes, I think, are streaming on Hulu too, but it's a Disney Plus original. I wasn't sure if I was going to watch this show because I'm not a big fan of the books. I didn't really like the movies that came out several years back. But I was hearing through the grapevine that Disney Plus had a winner on their hands. And this was the kind of show that I watched the trailer to my daughter, and she was like, that looks really cool. So I figured, anytime I could find a TV show these days that the whole family can sit down and watch, it's a good thing, because there's not a lot of them. And that's a big problem in this day and age, is that there's just not enough TV show for the whole family. I feel like most of the shows that we watch, I have to ask my daughter to go to another room, go to her bedroom, so we can watch them. So Percy Jackson gave me an opportunity to have another family show to watch. So we checked it out, and it's really, really good. The first two episodes dropped last week, and then the third episode dropped this week, and I've already watched it, so I'm all caught up, all three episodes, and it's a really strong show. It's led by, I'm trying to remember the kid's name, I think his name's like Walker Scobell or something like that. He was in the movie last year on Netflix, The Adam Project, with Ryan Reynolds. He played the young Ryan Reynolds because they had time travel, and he was really, really good in that, and that actually got him the job for Percy Jackson. And he's great as Percy, and the side characters are cool, the effects are cool, and it's a really interesting story, and I'm just really digging it. I like the way that they're telling it, and it seems to be a big win because Disney Plus said that it's like the most streamed new show that they've had, which is really, really cool as well. So big thumbs up for me for Percy Jackson and the Olympians. Make sure you check that one out over on Disney Plus. The next one up I checked out is the new South Park special. Yes, they are back. South Park, you know, they've been doing specials on Paramount Plus for the last couple years. And their newest one is called South Park Not Suitable for Children. And this one here, after it's discovered that a teacher at South Park Elementary has an OnlyFans page, Randy is compelled to take a closer look at the seedy underbelly of the world of online influencers. So this one makes fun of OnlyFans. It makes fun of energy drinks that the kids drink. There's a drink in the episode called Cred that's basically a ripoff of Prime. And, you know, the kids going crazy about, you know, you got Cred, you got to get Cred. And then just the OnlyFans stuff with Randy was killing me. This was one of the best specials they've done. I laughed my ass off at this one. And yeah, if you're a South Park fan, I think you're going to like this one. So definitely check out South Park Not Suitable for Children, now streaming on Paramount Plus. Of course, Marvel's What If came out the day before Christmas Eve. And they've been streaming one episode a day. I've been watching it. It's been fun. It's kind of given us a family thing to do each day. Hey, we haven't watched our new What If episode yet. All of them so far have been super, super solid episodes. I think this season, is better than season one. I do. They've been super solid episodes. I will say, except for me, the newest episode that dropped today, which was What If Kahori Could Reshape the World. Kahori is a new superhero that they made up just for this show. I did not like this episode at all. But every other episode they've done up to this point has been fantastic. So hopefully they'll get back to their winning ways tomorrow. But yeah, this was the only miss for me so far, but it's been a great season. So definitely check out What If on Disney Plus. Lastly, I also checked out another new comedy show that just is dropping. It actually drops starting next week on NBC, but Peacock aired the pilot early, and it's a new sitcom called Extended Family. And this one here stars John Cryer, Donald Faison, and Abigail Spencer. And it's a simple premise. John Cryer and Abigail Spencer were married for 17 years. They get a divorce. She starts dating Donald Faison, and it's about an extended family, right? They have a good relationship. They didn't have a bitter divorce. They had a good divorce. So they're still friends and they have two kids. So there's keeping it together for the kids, but her getting into the new relationship with Donald Faison's character, and kind of how the family is adapting to this new life. Now, this is your typical kind of network sitcom kind of comedy. It's hit and miss, right? Only the pilot dropped. I watched it. I had some good laughs with it. I like John Cryer. I watched Two and a Half Men for a very long time. And John Cryer's always been good. And Donald Faison's always been good. I mean, if you watch Scrubs, you know it. And Abigail Spencer is one of the hottest women in the world. So, you know, I mean, it works. So I'll definitely be watching this show. And I thought it was a good pilot. I did. But it is kind of your typical laugh cam, kind of typical sitcom shows. I mean, there's not really much new to it. Hopefully they can keep the laughs coming and the premise doesn't wear out too thin, and we'll see where it takes us from there. But if you want to see the pilot early, you could check that out on Peacock. And a real quick side note, I finished season one of The Bear and then jumped into season two, and I'm about three episodes into season two so far. Really like this show. It's an interesting show. There's not much really going on plot-wise to it, but it's an interesting character show to see what these characters all do and how they work together. So I'm definitely interested in seeing where season two takes me as I continue on. So that's what we got, guys. I know we took a lot of time there because we had a lot to talk about. Look at that, 30 minutes we've done just in previews and reviews. So we'll try to get to the news quickly. So once again, quickly recapping, Aquaman and the Lost Kingdom is now in theaters, 4 out of 5 stars. Wonka is now in theaters, 4 out of 5 stars. Leo is streaming over on Netflix, 3 out of 5 stars. And Rebel Moon Part 1, A Child of Fire, is streaming on Netflix, 3 out of 5 stars. Over on the TV side, check out What If on Disney Plus Season 2, Dr. Death Season 2 over on Peacock, the Dr. Death Cutthroat Con Man documentary on Peacock, South Park Not Suitable for Children on Paramount Plus, Percy Jackson and the Olympians on Disney Plus, The Bear Season 2 over on Hulu, and Extended Family will be available. You can watch the pilot right now on Peacock, and then the show will air on NBC and Peacock the next day. Okay, 30 minutes in. That's what we got. Lots of reviews. And then we're going to talk box office. This is for the 3 days. Now, I know a lot of box office likes to report the 4 days because they're counting Christmas. I'm just going to count the normal, typical Friday, Saturday, Sunday, right, that we got. Coming in, number 10 is Poor Things. Number 9 is Godzilla Minus One. Number 8, The Boy and the Heron. Number 7, The Hunger Games, The Ballad of Songbirds and Snakes. Number 6, The Iron Claw, which I will be going to see tomorrow. So I'll have a review on that on the next episode. Looking forward to that one. Number 5 is Salar. Number 4, Anyone But You. Number 3, Migration. Number 2, Wonka. And number 1, Aquaman and the Lost Kingdom. Now, it was a rough debut, guys, for Aquaman. I'll tell you, for being the last film in the DCEU, definitely going out on a whimper. And it continues the trend of comic book movies just not making money this year. We had Ant-Man and the Wasp Quantumania fall short. We had The Flash fall short. We had Blue Beetle fall short. We had the Marvels fall short, and now we have Aquaman and the Lost Kingdom falling short, only making $28 million. Actually, 27.7 for the 3 days, and then about 10 mil more, so about 38 million if you count Christmas. Super, super low for comic book movies. That's pretty sad to see. I mean, everybody was complaining when the Marvels only made 50 mil. This one didn't even hit 30. Ooh. So definitely, you know, 10 years of the DCU going out on a whimper. I am looking to get the guys together so we can do kind of a mini Aquaman spoiler review, but then we really want to do a big recap on the DCU for the 10-year history, talk through all the films and rank them on how the franchises have ended. So keep you posted on that one there, but that is your box office. Let's switch gears and get into our news of the week. You know, a movie that came out on Netflix several years ago I really liked but never thought I'd see a sequel to was Triple Frontier. Charlie Hunnam, who is, of course, doing press for Rebel Moon, says that he has signed on to produce a Netflix sequel. So he wants to do a Triple Frontier 2. Don't know who would come back for this one, but I'd be down. Let's do it right now, right? Warner Brothers Discovery in talks with Paramount discussing a possible merger. This is really, really big here, as supposedly they talked about merging, or at least merging their streaming services, right? Put Paramount Plus on Max would be incredible. So, you know, I know there's a lot of merger talk around Hollywood right now on how to save some money and become bigger companies, right? So why not? But talks have been really quiet since they met, so we'll have to keep you posted on that one there. Courtney Cox's show Shining Vale, which I actually really, really liked, has been canceled at Stars after 2 seasons. Season 2 just finished a couple weeks back. And yeah, I thought it was a really solid show, really funny and unique. but the show has been canceled over at Starz. No season 3. Jake Johnson's new film Self-Reliance is going to get a short theatrical release before it debuts on Hulu. This was supposed to be a Hulu exclusive film, but now it's going to go to theaters for a little bit, which is pretty cool. You know, when I went to the theater for Wonka the other day, I saw a poster for this up on the wall. So good for them, man, because it looks like a fun movie. We have the trailer for The Regime, which is Kate Winslet's new show that's coming soon to Max. Ben Stiller has been tapped to star in David Gordon Green's new movie, Nutcrackers. Dwayne Johnson, he was supposed to have a Christmas movie come out this year called Red One with Chris Evans. Movie was nowhere to be found, but now we found out that they pushed it a year. It's going to come out November of next year, and that the movie has been testing so good with audiences. Instead of it just being a Prime release on Prime Video, they're going to put it in theaters for a couple weeks and let it have a theatrical run first before it hits Prime in December for Christmas. So, very cool, man. Sucks we have to wait another year because I was looking forward to this movie, but I'm ready, man. Let's do it. Red One coming out in November next year. Let's see here. Frank Darabont is in talks to direct some episodes of the final season of Stranger Things. That would be pretty cool. The Strangers Chapter 1, the horror reboot, will come out in theaters this May. The canceled Snowpiercer's incredible final season will end up somewhere. That's what the series stars have said. They said, don't fret. They know for sure that one of these outlets is bound to pick it up and will air the final season, which is incredible, quote unquote. So I did not watch the Snowpiercer TV series, so I don't have much to talk about on there. But I do think, you know, a show that's been on for several years deserves to have a filmed finale, right? The final season has been filmed and is ready to go. Someone just needs to air it. Why not? I mean, I would buy the rights to it. Let's go. Put it up. Put it up for everybody. It definitely deserves it. The Family Plan, which we reviewed on last week's episode, has become Apple TV Plus' most watched movie. Congratulations. That's awesome there from Mark Wahlberg's new film. RoboCop and Star Trek movies are going to be coming to Max in January of 2024. David Oyelowo says that they are positive things are happening and they're moving forward with the Rocketeer 2 that he's helping put together. Creature Commandos is set to be the first DCU show. So remember, this is an animated series and this is going to be hitting at sometime late 2024, and it will be the first thing actually set in James Gunn's DC universe, and then the first movie will be the Superman movie. But remember, these animated characters can show up in live action, and they'll be voiced by the same people, which is really, really cool. The Zatanna movie that they were going to do with Emerald Fennell, she has confirmed that the DC movie isn't happening anymore. Now that everything's been scrapped and they're starting over from scratch, no more Zatanna, at least for now. Let's see here. Jordan Peele's next movie has been taken off of Universal's 2024 slate. His next film was supposed to come out Christmas of 2024, but due to the strike, they feel like everything's just kind of been pushed back at this point. Nothing super confirmed, and there is a chance it could find its way back onto the calendar, but as of right now, it's been removed. The Gilded Age has officially been ordered for a season 3 over on HBO. Video games based on movies from James Wan, Sam Raimi, and more are in the works. PlayStation and Warner Brothers have reached an agreement to not pull the Discovery shows that people have purchased. There was a rumor going around for about a month now that, you know, people that had purchased digital movies and TV shows on their PlayStations were going to lose that content. But now PlayStation and Warner Brothers have reached a new agreement and nothing is going anywhere. So that's pretty cool there. Emma Stone may be joining Joaquin Phoenix in Ari Aster's next film, Eddington. So we'll see if that ends up happening. Jake Johnson says that his show Minx is probably done over on the Starz network. Season 3, I believe, has been over for a while and there's been no word on what else is happening. So, you know, he thinks the show's pretty much done at this point here. Comedian Joe Coy is going to host the 2024 Golden Globe. So congratulations there. I love Joe Coy. I actually just went and saw him live back in November. And it was a fun time, man. He's a really, really funny guy. So I think he'll be a great host for the Golden Globes there. DC studio boss says that Jason Momoa will always have a home at DC, even if it's the end of the journey for Aquaman. This one here, I suspect, is because we all suspect that Jason Momoa will be Lobo in the James Gunn universe. And that's why they're making it seen here that, hey, even though his ride may be done for Aquaman, he'll always have a home at DC. So, yes, so we'll wait the official announcement from there. We have an article talking about the DC Extended Universe, right? 10 years, 16 movies. Some wins, some losses. It's officially come to an end with Aquaman and the Lost Kingdom. Kind of do a little wrap up there. Roadhouse remake starring Jake Gyllenhaal has been set for a spring 2024 release date. Miranda Baccarin says that the film Deadpool 3 reinvents Vanessa and Wade's relationship. I'm just so glad that she's back for Deadpool 3. There was a concern there for a while that she wasn't going to be back, and that's pretty cool there. NBC's Las Vegas is set to stream for the very first time. It's going to be coming to Peacock. I'm excited about this. I love the show Las Vegas. This is where Josh Duhamel got his start, and so many hot girls on this show. So many. It was such a show ahead of its time, man. I love this show. And the late, great James Caan leading this one up. So I'm excited it's coming to Peacock. I'll definitely probably re-binge this one when it hits Peacock, I believe, next month. Director Christopher Landon, who had just signed on a couple months ago to take over the Scream franchise, he was going to do Scream 7. Guess what? He's officially exited the movie as director. That's right. And how can you blame the guy, right? Like, first they fire Melissa Barrera, and then we find out that Jenna Ortega isn't going to come back. He's like, dude, my movie's fucked at this point, right? Like, I'm out this bitch. And so I don't know what they're going to do with Scream 7 at this point. But yeah, he has left. He said, you know, this movie quickly turned into a nightmare and I had to get off the ride. So best of luck to him in his future endeavors. That's for sure. Saw 10 producers talking about the horror sequel story. They believe, even though they're still writing the script, they're saying that it sounds like what they're going to do is keep it kind of prequel style, bring back John Kramer again, and kind of continue the story that takes place after Saw 10. So we'll see. We'll go from there. Comic book writer Tom King is an integral part of James Gunn's upcoming DCU. That's right, and that's straight from James Gunn himself. He says they are working with Tom King, and he's helping out with the DCU. So I like that. That's pretty cool right there overall. Let me see here. We got some box office stuff here. I'm just kind of skipping through my notes because we already talked box office. Like I said, the trailer came out for Rebel Moon Part 2, The Scargiver. This hits Netflix on April 19th, so check out that trailer. I think it looks great, man. I love the trailer for Part 2. Big congratulations to The Color Purple. You didn't hear me talk about The Color Purple on our box office because this movie didn't come out till Christmas, but it made $18 million on Christmas Day. It was the largest Christmas Day opening for a film since 2009 and the second biggest Christmas Day opening of all time. So congratulations, man. I didn't think at all that this movie would make a dent at the box office, and boy, did it prove me wrong. $18 million. They made more in its debut day than Aquaman did. So congratulations to The Color Purple. It's killing it and will probably be the number one movie for the weekend. Got some new images for The Joker 2, so definitely check that out. Rebel Moon is the number one movie on Netflix worldwide, and got a little video that we posted up with Zack Snyder to kind of just thanking everybody for making it the number one movie. Dave Chappelle has a new special that's surprisingly going to drop on Netflix here on December 31st. It's called The Dreamer, so keep your eyes out for that. We do have a trailer for it as well that you want to check out. Bridgerton returns on May 16th over on Netflix. Percy Jackson's and the Olympians, the premiere episode drew in 13.3 million views, a streaming record for Disney branded television. So congratulations there. Percy is a straight Disney thing. So it's not Star Wars, it's not Marvel, so it's its own thing and setting records, which is pretty cool. The Chosen season 4 is set for a theatrical premiere, and the CW plans are to be determined, but you could check out the trailer right now for that. Let me see here. Sorry, skipping through some stuff. Holidays. Yeah, we talked about all that. Everything else is just box office notes because there's a lot of new movies at the box office right now. You have the Sydney Sweeney, Glenn Powell movie, Anyone But You. You can check that out. Migration for the Kids, which is the new animated film from Illumination and Universal. The Iron Claw, which is the true wrestling drama from A24 based on the Von Erich family. So definitely check that out. Like I said, I'm going to be checking that out tomorrow. You got The Color Purple, you got Aquaman. So there's a lot of stuff at the box office right now. So make sure you go check it all out. But on that note, my friends, that is the end of our show. So not a ton of news. We had a ton of reviews. So we're hitting right about that 45-minute mark. So we only had about 15 minutes of news, but 30 minutes of reviews. So, but hey, a lot of you I know listen to the show just for the reviews. So I hope that we did our due diligence there. All right, guys, let's wrap this baby up and get on out of here. I know you're all busy this week. AmIOnTheAir.com is the official webpage. Make sure you bookmark it and stay tuned to all of that goodness. It's got all our links to everything there if you want to find a one-stop shop, AmIOnTheAir.com. Make sure you like us on Facebook at Facebook.com/AmIOnTheAir. Make sure you follow us on X, formerly known as Twitter, at AmIOnTheAir, or myself at DXDonMega. Same tags over on Threads for those of you that have switched over to using Threads. You can subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, iHeartRadio, Pandora, Amazon Music. We're on everything, Google Podcast. So make sure you subscribe wherever you like to listen to podcasts. Give us a thumbs up, five-star review, whatever you like to help out the show. You can always donate to the show as well on the show notes. It has links to my Cash App and my Venmo if you'd like to support the show in any way. Anything is appreciated. Make sure you follow us on all the socials, TikTok, Instagram, YouTube, just simply at Am I on the Air. Thank you to our great affiliates at Red Dragons Radio and the Pop Culture Pros. Follow on Twitter at Red Dragons Radio and Pop Culture underscore Pros, okay? RedDragonsRadio.com as well. Thank you so much for always streaming our show on demand. And that'll do it for me on this Wednesday, December the 28th. No, 27th. Sorry. December the 27th. This month is going by so damn fast. It's been so busy and there's so much more work to be done. But I'm excited to go see the Iron Claw tomorrow and we'll talk about it on next week's show. In the meantime, once again, Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. Yeah, because next time I talk to y'all, it'll be a new year, man. It'll be 2024, and we'll kick things off with the season 28 season premiere because we got to start a new season with the new year. Why not, right? So till then, be safe. Happy holidays. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. Take care of yourselves and each other. And until next time, y'all. Or till next year, y'all. Ha ha. Dad joke. Peace. Red Dragons!